This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode number, what is this, 233?
233.
What did you watch this week? My name is Mike.
My name is Jan.
What's up, Jan?
Not much, Mac. What's up with you?
Oh, stuff and things and stuff. You know how it is.
Yeah.
I'm on vacation.
Which is awesome. Congrats.
Yeah, I mean, tomorrow's a holiday for you and all, but...
And for you.
Well, technically for me, because I'm not using any vacation time.
Yeah.
But I'm on vacation this week. We're going to Vermont on Tuesday for... Three nights. We were going to go for four nights, but then my wife's sister's coming up for a visit, so we've decided to go for three nights instead to have more visit time.
I see. How does that make you feel? Moving on then. Okay. That's called entrapment. I realized it after I started saying it.
Yes. So, but here we are to record a show. A show called What Did You Watch This Week?
I popped over early because I thought we were recording on Sunday, and we're supposed to record on Monday, so the only thing that's missing is the boys.
Yes.
From Mike.
I was going to watch the boys tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I just hadn't gotten around to it.
The good news is, the one that you'll be watching tonight is episode 6.
Yeah.
There are only 8 episodes in the season.
Oh, okay.
So technically speaking, where there's not a lot going on right now.
There really is not.
We could finish the last two this next week here, if we feel like it. You'll be watching episode 6. We would normally watch episode 7 as well.
Oh, so watch 6, 7, and 8?
Or you could just watch 6, I won't watch any, and we'll just catch up from there. Let's see how you're feeling with your vacation.
Let's not fall too far behind from everybody else.
Right. Well, yeah.
Because
your vacation will set precedent, because you might not have a lot of time between vacation and visiting.
Well, we do have to record next Sunday, because next Monday I am working in dispatch.
Right. And I'll definitely be here next Sunday for that.
But realistically, I'm probably, after we get done today, still going to watch The Boys.
Nice.
Because it is on Amazon, so I really have to watch it at home. I don't have Amazon Prime on my tablet.
How come?
It's my wife's account. I just haven't loaded it on my Kindle Fire.
Gotcha.
I haven't bothered.
Gotcha.
Typically, if I'm watching Amazon Prime, I'm watching it in the living room anyways.
Fair enough.
But, you know, there really wasn't a whole lot to watch this week.
There wasn't, and yet, this week slogged for me.
I sent you one text message. I believe it said, I just fucking want Hannibal to be done.
You
want
to know what's funny?
What?
I can say this now that we're here.
Yeah.
So, I forgot to watch Hannibal last week. So, the two episodes that you watched last week,
yeah.
I was just riffing. I had forgotten to watch it.
Oh, okay.
So...
You had fucking 5 to watch.
I did the honest thing and watched 5 episodes of Hannibal this week.
Horrible.
And so when I saw your message, I just want Hannibal to be over. I'm like, yeah, I fucking hear you, pal. Yeah. I'm in hell.
So we watched, all right. It's so amazing to me how much we loved this show and how, like, I hope they come back for more. I hope Netflix revives it because it's so popular on Netflix and this and that. Now we got to season 3.
Yeah.
I fucking hated this season.
Yeah.
If season 3 was season 1, I never would have watched 3 seasons of this show.
Exactly.
I kept waiting for it to get better.
And it didn't. Like, even... So, when I watched those 2 episodes that I had skipped, seeing Bloom acting like, you know, queen shit of Turd Island.
Yeah.
With, like, her swept-aside hair and her low-cut shirts, and she's like... There are 5 doors between Hannibal and the outside world, and I have the key to all 5 of them, and
right.
I'm the only one.
He needs to fuck me. Now I'm fucking him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and I can see why
this rating steadily declined this season.
Yeah. And they were just rehashing Red Dragon. Literally.
Well, but that's the point. Like, the next season was supposed to be Silence of the Lambs, the movie Silence of the Lambs in television format. And if, but realistically, seasons one and two were Hannibal Rising.
Mm-hmm.
But Hannibal Rising was nowhere near as popular of a movie as Red Dragon, Silence of the Lambs, and Hannibal.
Well, people were tired of it by then.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, too. Okay, so early on, I mean, we're talking back like mid-season two. I had sent you articles that were like, you know, oh, the plan for season four if they move forward. Or
yes, and I remember reading some of the same. Yes, Ellen Page potentially was supposed to be Clarice. And
well, I remember reading one line and I went, oh, I got to stop. Because the one line, and it's replayed in my head over and over again, was when we left season three, Will and Hannibal were on the run together. So all the rest of season two and then into season three, I had that line running through my head over and over again. And I'm like, so we're going to reach a point where these two are on the run together. And then I got to the end of season three and I went, they're not on the run together.
No, they did the Sherlock Holmes ending.
Yeah.
Yeah, when
Sherlock Holmes... Even to the point where instead of like being a real ending, they did like the 1980s ending where they show over the cliff and, you know, the water crashing. And
right, right. Graham admits that killing Dolarhyde was beautiful, as he said.
Yeah.
And they embrace and then fall over the cliff together, which is fucking okay. It's right out of Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah,
you know when him and Moriarty went over the waterfall together, and then that was the end of Sherlock. And then he allegedly faked his own death, and they brought him back, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And how does this turn into Hannibal being captured for Silence of the Lambs?
That's there is a departure from Red Dragon in this because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I found that I've already seen Red Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
I was annoyed. To your point, you had said the whole thing about how, oh, well, Bloom and Margo have a baby, so we know at least a year has passed. Okay, the last scene of this season, one of the last scenes, watching them walk out with that six-year-old?
Margo, yeah, it's been like 6 years.
Yeah, I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
That's not a baby. That's a fucking grown school kid.
Right, yeah. So it's just... But yeah, we've said the ending. And then did you watch the post-credit scene?
No.
Oh, there's a post-credit scene.
I saw the crashing of the waves and the thing, and it was like credits rolling, and I'm like, I'm fucking done.
No, I
watched five episodes. I was like, I'm done.
I'm sitting here. The credits are rolling, and I just haven't reached over to stop it yet because I'm watching it on my tablet while
I'm
working.
You're obviously more of a sadist than I am, my friend.
Well, no, I was changing passwords or doing some fucking thing for somebody. And then I look over, I'm like, oh, there's more. And so I watch it, and it's essentially you see like a fancy, Hannibal-esque fancy dining room table. There's place settings for multiple people, okay? And then you see Gillian Anderson's character, Dr. Dumour, there, sitting there at the table. And they show like this giant like roast of something. And it clearly has been, it's like...
Expertly prepared?
Well, yes. And you can see the bone at the end, and it looks like it's a human leg without a foot, okay?
Okay.
And you see her sitting there waiting, and she picks up a small fork, and then the camera pans down, and she's missing her leg. So it's her leg on the table, is the implication.
Which is the same thing that he did to Eddie Izzard's character.
And her leg is bandaged up, but you don't see anybody else, and you just see her sitting there. So that's it. And, oh, and the table's set for three. So obviously, like, so they took Graham and made him a cannibal too, apparently.
Huh.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm sad I missed that.
Yeah. Well, you shouldn't be.
Well, if they do come back for the fourth season, I'm hoping that maybe they'll change things, be better.
I don't know. I'm kind of glad it's done.
Well, at least that was, dumb.
I watched Ratcheted.
Mm.
I'm up to episode four, I think.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not going to watch anymore.
Okay. That's how I feel about Fargo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I liked Fargo.
And I knew you would, but for me, the best thing that I could, the best comparison that I could make was Fargo is that friend, or maybe it's not even a friend, maybe it's a family member, but it's that person in your life that they can't just tell you a story. They have to go on and on and on and on.
Sure.
And they have to, like, go down side trails, and they have to add in details, and they have to go back. Oh, wait, hold on. We got to go back a couple of days because this happened. And it's that person who, like, when you run into them and they're like, hey, I got to tell you something. You're like, oh, fuck, here it comes. Better settle in. That's how Fargo feels to me. It's so slow and so drawn out. And even when I saw Timothy Oliphant's character, I'm like, yes, Timothy Oliphant. I love Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah.
Even the short amount of time that we got his character, I was like, holy Christ.
Yeah.
He's explaining that he's a Mormon and I don't fucking care.
Yeah. And then the other guy hates him that he's a Mormon. And he even makes a comment about, like, we kill your people.
Yeah.
I realize the 1950s were a little different, but that different.
Yeah.
Oh, why would you just say you're a police officer?
Where he was clearly wearing a uniform.
Yeah. Well, okay, so you have the older brother who's in from Italy and clearly, or the younger brother who's in from Italy and clearly fucking insane.
Literally,
like, his eyes are bugged out the whole time. And basically he just wants to start a war with the blacks.
If this was the 80s, you'd swear he was on coke the whole time.
Yes. And he clearly just wants to start a war with the Connors or the blacks or whatever.
Yep.
And so he sends one of his guys off to do a hit with the Irish guy. And the Irish guy's basically like, who ordered this hit? And then he refuses to do it at the end.
It's not just a hit. It is the hit of Chris Rock's son.
Yes.
Who's got a new driver who's going to college.
And basically he's like, you know, if we do this, they're going to kill Zero, which is their brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's that because they did the brother swap, the child swap thing, right? And yeah, so there's some, and which is what's great is at the end with Chris Rock and Dr. Senator,
still love it.
I know, and they're talking about it, and Dr. Senator is like basically like, no, this wasn't a hit on you at all. This is a power play in their house. That's what's happening.
Yeah,
like I like the fact that they came to a rational realization of what was going on.
Yeah.
As opposed to the expected,
we need to fight back,
and instead you think you'll see more chess being played. If you don't want to watch anymore, that's fine. I'm going to continue to watch it. I like the slow burn.
What was up with the nurse? Okay,
oh,
her whole okay. So talk about a slow burn.
Her character is fucking odd.
The end of last week's episode, I swear to God, that jar said Ipecac.
It did.
Okay, Ipecac makes you instantly throw up.
Yes, it does.
Not have diarrhea an hour later.
And now this girl threw up like an hour later, diarrhea an hour later. Yeah, it was wrecking her stomach.
Like, she should have immediately, as soon as she started eating that, she should have been like,
within 20 minutes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not, because as soon as they crawled in the coffin together, they'd be driven away.
Yeah.
And she's laying on top of her, I'm like, oh, she's going to throw up right in her face.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch
this girl. In her mouth.
I don't want to watch this girl throw up in this other girl's mouth. I got thrown up in my mouth once. It fucking sucks.
I've had Ipecac once. It sucks.
I've never had that. Why?
My parents, way back in the last, in the house that burned down.
Oh, I'm sorry. Blood blister?
Blood blister. Cutting down
God, it just hurts looking at it.
Yeah. Got another one over there.
Not as bad. That one's not as bad looking.
Tree fell over in the last windstorm. Well, part of a tree fell over, so I was...
Any damage?
No.
Oh, good.
No, it was down back. But I was cutting up the branches. I don't have a chainsaw, so I was using a Sawzall.
Sure.
And just got in there a little bit too much, pinched a little bit. And this one was from a ladder, like trying to set it up, and I pushed down on the thing, and it pinched right in the Yeah. So anyway.
Parents, appetite.
Yeah. When I was a real young kid, they had a ceramic shop, and they actually taught people how to fire ceramics.
Sure, I remember paint. I've never went there, but I remember you talking about it before.
One night, my sister and I got under their bed, and they had all their ceramic paints. And of course, this was the 70s. It was lead-based.
Sure.
So we decided to paint each other, including tongues and, yeah. So my parents forced us to have some Ipecac. And then gave us the worst punishment I've ever had in my entire life.
Oh, really?
1 week grounding from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and Sesame Street. I was devastated.
So,
like Mr. Rogers was my neighbor. What was he going to think if I didn't show up to see him every day?
When I was your age... At this same time frame, I one time was not sweeping the dirt driveway correctly. Because apparently you can not sweep a dirt driveway correctly.
Yeah, you've worked at J&S.
And my stepfather, dirt driveway. Dirt driveway. I swept the dirt on the dirt driveway wrong. And my stepfather whooped my ass so hard, I peed myself.
Hmm.
And then I got another whooping for peeing myself.
Nice. That's... Yeah, that's definitely a worse physical traumatizing, emotional.
You ever seen a comedy where they say, I'm going to beat you till you bleed and beat you for bleeding?
Yes.
That happened to me.
Except peeing.
No. The bleeding part.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If my skin wasn't so weak, it wouldn't have broken, apparently.
Wow.
So, yes.
I'm glad I had my upbringing.
Yeah. I had, good times.
Yeah.
Good times.
So, anyway, the nurse Slowburn here, okay? That's what I'm going to call her if I do continue watching this. Nurse Slowburn.
Yeah. First, she's killing patients.
Yeah.
She gets fired. Gets a new job working at the hospital that denied the Italian service.
Yeah. And here's the thing is, she gets the job in a very long, drawn-out scene. And what's his name there? The leader of the
Italians.
Ramona's evil exes. I want to say Martin Starr, but it's not Martin Starr. But yeah. Who always plays a good, slimy asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he's sitting out there scoping out the place. She walks out, jumps in the car with him. She's like, you were checking me out. I'm a lady. You shouldn't be watching ladies. And then proceeds to jerk him off.
Yeah.
To the, my eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
She was singing it. Yeah.
And she used lyrics that I had never heard before.
She's a religious type.
And jerked him off and then wiped it off and then said, next time call me first and take me out on a real date. And then left.
Yeah.
This woman is fucking nuts.
She is, yeah. Yeah, she is.
Like, knuckin' futs, dude. So I don't know. I'm not sure that I'm going to keep watching it. I know you enjoy this stuff, so I'll probably just rely on you for the...
All right. Want to talk Cobra Kai?
Cobra Kai.
It's one of the only other shows we watch, practically. It seems like.
One, two, three. Yeah. Although there may be a couple of them that you go, oh, crap.
I guess we'll find out.
Cobra Kai.
Yeah, what'd you think?
I loved it. We got to see a nice juxtaposition.
Yes.
The Cobra Kai kids are all cocky. That was a lot of alliteration there.
Yeah.
Cobra Kai kids cocky. You know, they're fooling around and joking around, and they're getting to be assholes. You know, Hawk is picking on some of the new kids because now he's a bully.
Well, because he wants to make up names like asshole and douchebag. Yeah, high five.
And even Miguel gets in on it because he's starting to turn into a douche.
Because he's an asshole, yeah.
And basically, Kreese comes in and watches, and Johnny's like, he's just an observer, ignore him. But they're all goofing around. They're like, look, we won the championship, and it's another 11 and a half months till the next championship. We're going to fuck off. And he's like, oh, really? Now, this is something that I hate when they do this in shows, and they did it in this one, which is class just started. They started fucking off, and he goes, be back at 5 a.m. on this street corner, class dismissed.
Yeah.
Like, class just started a minute ago.
Right. At least this is more believable in respect that it's a karate dojo. They're not at school. They can just leave.
You hear the bell ring. They go, okay, class, look, I'm not messing around today. Ring. Okay, that's the bell. You're going to your next class. What? Yeah.
But when they do it like at college or high school or junior high, it's
yeah. Yeah. Johnny takes them out and teaches them a lesson about constantly moving and constantly pushing forward by making four or five of them get into the drum of a cement mixer and spin it so the cement doesn't harden on their feet. That was rough.
Yeah.
I like how Kreese asked him. He's like, have you ever done this before? He's like, no.
Yeah. At the same time, we get the juxtaposition of Daniel trying to teach Sam and Robbie how to do this kata karate movement type stuff together in unison, but they're back two to each other and they can't see each other. They have to sense each other. So they go back to from last season where we had in the koi pond, if you will, the floating ring that they had balanced the big bonsai trees on. And so Daniel makes them get up on it.
Which was cool.
Yes. And now they have to do this karate movement together in unison, and they're kind of back two to each other for most of it. But now they can feel each other's movements and timing, and it's to teach. And, of course, we see them falling in the water and falling in the water. And realistically, at least one of them had to have slipped and landed on the fucking platform and fucked themselves up bad.
Oh, yeah. Or, like, the platform wasn't that far away from the stone edge.
So they had to kind of fall straight down.
Yeah.
It was dangerous either way.
Uh-huh.
But we see these happening at the same time. So we see them teaching, you know, both Daniel and Johnny teaching their students to work together, but in different ways, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I did like afterwards when Chris goes, that could have gone horribly wrong. You know, like...
And that's Chris saying.
Yeah, right, exactly. But, you know, bravo for thinking outside the box. But Chris does come forward and he's, your sensei? Yeah, this is my best student, blah, blah, blah. Do you have any predictions for this season?
I predict that Kreese is going to make a power play, and he's going to take the asshole kids and try to...
Make his own,
Yep.
Do you think Johnny will make his own dojo, his own... Oh, like Kreese will take over Cobra Kai, Johnny will make his open up his own dojo again, and they'll work together with his non-asshole kids? Or do you think Johnny and Daniel work together? Do you see Johnny and Daniel working together at any point?
I think that they've been getting closer and closer, but I don't know. I would kind of like to see it the way that the writing of this story has been going.
Yeah.
I would like to see the two of them team up against Cobra Kai, you know, against Kreese. I think that would be awesome. Back in season one, I had predicted that we'd see Sam versus Miguel. We might now see that.
Yes, we could.
The way that they're training. But
I'm just enjoying the hell out of this show.
I am too.
I really am.
I liked the opening montage of this with Back in Black, where they painted his car black and gold. And, you know, he looks at Miguel and he's like, you know, don't look over there. Just be cool. Just.
Oh, yeah. When they roll up. Along. Yeah.
But, you know, Miguel tried to reach out to Sam and he was like, look, I'm sorry. I stole Alicia's phone so that, you know, you'd pick up. And she's like, look, I can't talk to you right now. But. He went over to drop off the food to Johnny, and he found Robbie's picture on the fridge. So
Miguel was pissed.
He's gotta ask him about that, I'm sure.
And also, Daniel went over to go talk to Johnny because Robbie's mom left for Mexico for a month with some douche.
Because she stopped paying the bills, and so like he doesn't seem to have electricity or anything.
Right, so he lets Johnny, so he's going to let Robbie stay with him, and I think Daniel's going over to talk to Johnny and say, hey, this is what's going on with your son.
Yep.
But then he sees Kreese, and he's like, fuck these guys.
Yeah, he's like, oh, he's dead, huh?
Yeah.
And they're like, they're being real dicks about it, and he's like, I came to ask you a question, I got my answer. Like, I like to, that I could have done without the whole, you know, him and his wife being the greatest sales team in the Valley area. Whatever. That was cute, but I didn't need it. I like his wife better when she's being the voice of reason. You know, like when he's like, look, we can fix up. We can put an air mattress out in the guest house. And he can, she's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's let the kid stay here for one night and then talk to his parents. And he's like, well, I've tried to call his mom. She's like, he has two parents.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
I like her so much better when she's that voice of reason.
Me too. Yes.
The salesman thing, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that whole sales thing where they sold cars, that was just filler.
Yeah.
I could have done without that 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Did you watch Criminal UK season two at all or anything? Okay. I didn't watch the third episode.
Okay.
I watched Utopia Teenage Bounty Hunters. Did I miss anything else?
Well, you said that you watched Monsterland episode two.
Oh, God. Fuck. Terrible. Did you?
It was awful. I will not be watching any more Monsterland.
Part of me really wants to give it a try.
But it was, like, the first episode was like, oh, this is kind of...
But at least you could get through it. This one, fuck this fucking fuck.
And they tried to do that weird thing where it's like he was talking to these people online, but they were in the room with him because he was imagining them in the room with him. And
yeah, I just... It wasn't good. It wasn't what I thought.
There's a shadow, and it's following me, and it's in my house, and he's making shadow puppets. And
yeah, that was terrible.
Did you watch Next?
No. I read the synopsis again, and I watched the trailer. I saw a commercial for it. I just, I have no interest.
Okay. I watched it.
Yeah, you said, you told me you did.
Or it was decent. It's exactly what you expect. Basically, you know, some guy gets killed by rogue AI. Well, he gets T-boned on his way to meet up with this guy who is the inventor of some AI system. Turns out this guy has, the inventor of the system has been diagnosed with some bad disease, and he's only got like 6 months to live. Mm-hmm. And some of the symptoms that he's going to have are hallucinations, delusions, paranoia. But they've got this AI system that they've created that's, as they say, you know, it takes Alexa or Siri or Cortana or anything like that. They're like, those are assistants. Those are voice assistants. They basically just synthesize speech boxes that recite back questions. They're making an actual AI called Next, and it doesn't have any access to the internet until one of the programmers in there develops a gambling problem and loses all of his money. So the machine kind of finds a way to help him, predicts all the winners. And when it does, it says, look, get me a modem. So he hooks up a wireless modem to this giant server farm. And so it has internet access. Now it's out there in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's Skynet meets Alexa. I'll keep watching it because it's entertaining and it's not the slowest thing ever. So, but no, I think you're right. I think that the only other two things that we were watching together were Teenage Bounty Hunters, The Boys, obviously, and Utopia.
What did you think of Utopia?
Now that I've gone into it with the idea that this is like Dirk Gently, it feels more like Dirk Gently. And
yeah,
so I really liked how bizarre it was. Just so much weird stuff. When she meets up with Artemis, like, because of the map, it's Tuesday. Tuesday's child is full of grace, so we have to look at G14 on the map and go down there to the home, to the homeless camp, and find Artemis down there, who... I was looking at her, and I'm like, this is somebody I know. And I paused it because it's Amazon. It's Cameron Manheim. I'm like, oh, shit, they got Cameron Manheim. That's great. I loved, like, when Artemis is talking to her, and she's explaining some stuff, and she's like, okay, I'm probably going to struggle a bit at first, but that's just old reflexes. She's like, okay, that's fine. And I'm like, what's she talking about? Oh, she's going to kill her. And Artemis is going to fight back a little bit. And she did. She fought back a little bit and then accepted that she was going to die. And then Jessica Hyde ripped her fingernails off to look at the tattoos under the fingernails.
Okay, first of all, I don't think that's possible or even true, because if she had fingernails removed...
They grow back.
They would grow back before the finger healed up enough for them to tattoo underneath the nail. So I have a hard time with that.
Dude, if somebody ripped your fingernail off and then immediately...
Tattooed?
Yeah. That would be the most painful thing you could probably experience.
Probably, yeah.
Outside of, like, a penile tattoo.
So I don't
have an eyelid tattoo.
I have no, I don't, yeah. So these two hitmen show up, though, these twins, looking for Utopia, of course.
I wanted to call them the Weasley twins because they looked like the Weasley twins.
It's the scene from the trailer where we now, as we now know her to be...
Jessica Hyde.
Jessica Hyde kills both of them rather quickly.
Brutally.
We have, you know, Becky, Ian, and Wilson following her blindly, if you will, doing whatever she wants, even though they're afraid of her, but they're, at the same time, they're so sucked into what this dystopia comic was and what this Utopia comic could be and everything.
Because the one girl with the glasses has a disease, Becky, and she's dying, and she's hoping that the cure is in Utopia.
We find out that Jessica Hyde's fathers, who wrote and drew Dystopia and Utopia.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also find the two hitmen that we see at the beginning, where one has been killed by Jessica Hyde and the other one's still out there looking for everybody. They're working for John Cusack's character.
Yeah, we see that at the very end. Yeah. And he's weird because, like, he comes into the house and John Cusack opens up that drawer and has all those boxes of raisins.
Yes.
Takes one out, tosses it to the guy, and the guy's eating them, like, one at a time, on the floor, cross-legged.
Yeah.
He's a grown man. He's acting like a child.
Yes.
But, yeah, they're working for John Cusack, who, up until this point, we thought was a benevolent person.
Yeah, clearly not.
No. It's still very bizarre, but I'm digging it. What about you? Are you going to keep
going? No. I'm absolutely going to keep going. I'm going to apparently stutter and stammer for a while, but no, I'm absolutely going to keep going with it.
Good.
Yeah, I enjoy the hell out of it.
I got to tell you, I watched the next episode of Room 104. I can no longer use Room 104 as a selling point for HBO Max.
No.
No. It's had too many episodes that are not good. This episode was called Internet, okay? And it's always room 104 of this hotel. This time it's 1997, and Hari Kondolou, who you've seen him in a bunch of stuff recently, he basically, it's 1997, he's written a book, but he left his laptop at his mother's house, which is across the country.
Sure.
And so he's calling her and trying to get her to email a copy of it. And this was the most painful thing I have watched in a while, because The entire thing takes place in room 104. We see it all from his point of view. Mm-hmm. And he's on the phone with his mother, who, from the sounds of it, she's not really ancient. But this is, again, 1997.
Sure.
So computers and internet are still fairly fresh. So he's, like, trying to tech support her through opening up his laptop, turning it on. It's a Mac. He's trying to tell her how to find – he's like, you know, what windows are open? She's like, there are no windows open. It's very cold out. Why are there windows open? And so he's like – he's trying to explain to her what folders are and, you know, double click on this. It's click, 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 click. And he can hear her going click, click. It was so painful to watch this.
That, like, sounds painful.
It was like nails on a chalkboard. And she ended up deleting his whole book. Like, he told her to just select this one file, and she selected all. And he's like, okay, you selected all. That's fine. That's fine. So I need you to hit Control-C. She hit Control-V, which is paste. Now, the thing is, if she selected all and she said paste, there's nothing on the clipboard. So it wouldn't have done anything.
Right.
But anyway, she allegedly destroyed his entire book. And then he flips out on her and he's screaming at her. And she's like, I will not take that tone from you. And they're like going back and forth. And then she basically, she's like, you know, you're stubborn as she was. And I can't stand this. Because he tells her, he's like, get on the bus, take my laptop down to Macworld, put the guy on the phone, you know, tell him to call me at this number and I will get this fixed. Because this is 90% of my book was done. I have a meeting on Friday. I have to have this. It has to be emailed to me, blah, blah, blah. You just ruined my life. And so they get in this big fight. She says something about, you know, you're just as bad as she was. And he's like, who's she? And she's like, never mind. I'll go do what you want. I'll take this down there and blah, blah, blah. And the whole twist, it turns out, is that this isn't his mother. His mother was a drug baby. Well, he was a drug baby. She was, you know, messing around with guys and drugs, and her family kicked her out. And so this woman took her in and said, you know, I'll help you. And she gave birth to him and then disappeared. So this woman's been raising him, and that was the end of the episode. Well, I'm sorry. The end of the episode was him laying on his back, staring at the ceiling, and then seeing typed out words of his book.
Yeah.
And then they get deleted. And then there's handwritten words of the story of how his mother abandoned him and this other mother took him in and blah, blah, blah. And that's how it ends. I can no longer give this a hard sell
in
this series. So Teenage Bounty Hunters?
Yeah, great episode. Episode 9.
Oh, yeah. I kind of wanted to go on to the next one.
I did, too. I did, too. April and Sterling, they're going to... Well, okay, so let's just kick it off. April's father shows up.
At the very end of the episode.
Yes, but he's been cleared of all charges, and he wants to reconcile with her. So that's that story. Sterling and Blair
go on a nice little road trip.
They go on a road trip together. They skip school together, and they go on a road trip. Mm. And
as a parent, did you like how this was portrayed in that they didn't just get away with it? Like, the school actually called the parents. The parents actually went to the boss's house. The parents tried to track them down. But they didn't, like, we've got to go find our babies. They were like, they're not answering the phone.
Yeah.
We should go talk to their boss. We should see what's going on.
Yeah. The school called mom. Mom was like, yeah, no, they're not coming. Like, she covered for them, said they're not coming to school today.
Yep.
Then she tried calling both Blair and Sterling, and neither one would answer their phones. They said, we'll just deal with it later. Blair's thing was, we'll deal with it later. So they went and visited Bowser, and then Bowser tried calling them, and they said, we'll deal with it later. We'll just deal with it later. So then Bowser texted them. And they texted Bowser back, and they texted, like, their mom, we're fine, everything's fine.
Yep.
And she's like, she said fine twice. They're not fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they went and saw Bowser, and they're not there. And like you said, they went around. But Sterling and Blair, they went to Georgia. Because this picture of their mother, and there's this hand place they went to, which I love the fact that they show up and they just go, that there's like a cartoon ham eating a big piece of ham.
Big
cartoon
neon
pig, yep. Big neon cartoon, big neon sign of a cartoon pig eating a ham leg or something. Like, that pig is basically eating ham. It's a cannibal. And they go inside, and like, I don't know, one of them just says to the guy at the counter, do you realize that your logo is a cannibalistic pig? And he's like, yeah, it is.
Yep. And the place is nasty. There's like flies buzzing around the meat.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, can I help you? Because I got to get out back and throw the legs into the pig chipper before the lunch rush. And they're like, lunch rush?
But and then they do the twin talk. I'm dying to try these ribs. Do we dare eat here? And then they show like guy picking his nose, bugs on everything, rancid meat. Da, da, da. And then heck no. But I love how they like. Well, do you recognize this girl? No, but I recognize the shirt. What's the shirt? Oh, it's some big religious church. You know, one of those snake churches, basically. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, okay, do you know how to get there? Oh yeah. And he gives them directions like head down the road, take the right past the big rock in front of, in Jim's front lawn. Mm-hmm. And then if you go into the ravine, you've gone too far. You don't look in the ravine either. Just turn around and go. I think that was my favorite part of the directions. If you get to the ravine, you've gone too far. But seriously, don't look in the ravine. Just
turn around and go.
Turn around and go back. Yeah. But they show up at the church and basically they find out. And really the long and the short of it, they find out that their mother was a troubled teen. Mm-hmm. And. But the church lady wouldn't gossip about it, but she would, but she wouldn't. And essentially, I love the fact that the church has like five or six words in the title. And Sterling's like, you know, those evangelistic church that have like such long titles or just trouble or whatever.
The more words, the more trouble they are.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, we're looking for donations because we're missing one of our snakes. Yeah.
Yeah. No, he died last week.
He died last week. Yeah. So then they go to the local law enforcement.
Now, I just want to cut in here for a second because this whole time they've been fighting.
Yeah.
Because Blair is really pissed that Sterling fucked her over.
Oh, and that's
now,
right.
Now didn't her and her boyfriend are broken up.
Yeah.
And she blames her. She's like, you know, you always do everything for yourself and you screwed me over. And now I'm out a boyfriend. He was my soulmate. He was the perfect guy for me.
And Blair wants, and Sterling wants to tell Blair about her in April. Mm-hmm. But April's like, we need to keep it secret. And so she's struggling because she doesn't like to keep anything from her twin.
Mm-hmm.
They go down to the police department, and Blair is demanding information, and Sterling is sweet-talking.
No, no, no. First, she tries, like, opening up her shirt. Yeah. She's like, hey there. And he's like, are you trying to flirt with me, a gay man, by showing me your tits? Put those away.
Yeah. And then Sterling's like, oh, I really like your glasses. Are those vintage? Yes, they are. I found, and then I bought all six pair for $20 a piece. I'm keeping two for myself. I'm putting the rest on Etsy because I'm a businessman. I loved it. It was hilarious. And I loved how he would talk to Sterling.
Yeah.
And then shit on Blair.
Yeah.
And then, you have a great day. Not you.
Yeah.
You know? But kind of as they're driving away together.
Because he basically says that there's no record in there for Culpepper.
And if there's a juvenile record, it'd be sealed and we couldn't tell you. But, oh, and then Blair rips into Sterling about how Sterling's boring and safe and she's going to get back together with Luke. And
you haven't supported me all day.
And have five babies because that's the safe and the thing, that's what you're supposed to do. And I'm exciting and this and that. And Sterling rips back into her. It's like, no, ever since you found out I had sex, that's all you've wanted to do because you want to be the slutty twin and da da da. And I'm with April now. That's right. We're together and we do things together because she doesn't say I'm a lesbian, but she's like, but I'm with her and we're together.
When I bailed on you last night, I was making out with her.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So Sterling's Blair storms off and they're kind of fighting. And then I love. No, sorry, Blair storms off and Sterling's, oh, my gun. Because when they got to the police department, you see the cop holding the gun.
Awesome. Like, and you can't take those in there.
He goes, you can't take this in here. Oh, right. Well, can you hold on to it for me? He's like, yeah, we can. And he puts it like in a gun locker and gives her a key.
Yeah, it's like a valet system. Like, yes. They have a tag and the locker is full. Like, yes. People do this all the time.
Yeah. So she goes back to get her gun. Now, on the other side, Bowser is working together with Terrence.
Because Yolanda made them work together on this.
Because he goes back to Yolanda and he wants to apologize and
he brings donuts.
He brings donuts, but he wants to apologize and basically be like, look, I'm trying to be a man about this, but I have, and he basically says, I have feelings for you and I want to try and make this right, you know. And Sterling's there, Terrence is still there, and he's like, he made, you know, cinnamon rolls.
Homemade from scratch.
Yeah. And so he's like, do you want a donut? And you know, I was like, well, he made homemade from scratch cinnamon rolls. Yeah, do you want one? Yes, I want one. And then he takes a bite of it. And I just love it. He goes, fucking A, or motherfucker.
Yeah.
Listen, how is this so good? I put heavy cream on them. And that makes it so good.
Warm heavy cream right over the top makes it so moist.
Before you bake them. Blah, blah, blah. He's just like, I just loved his reaction to it. Like,
and I like that Terrence has the apron on, still no shirt.
Yeah, still no shirt. So they go off together and film together, and that's kind of they're looking for this skip, which is really the story that doesn't matter.
Right.
But through the story of it, Terrence is basically like, you got to be a lone wolf because friends will stab you in the back and da 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 da. And at the same time saying how he kind of likes Yolanda, but he's got this other girl on the side, and he's got this other girl on the side. And he doesn't really tie himself down to one person, and on and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. And right when they're about to make the bust.
You know, on a Tyler Perry movie set.
On a Tyler Perry movie set. They set off the smoker in the room to make everyone run out, on and on and on. They're about to make the bust. Bowser's phone rings, and it says the brunette one on it. And he
which
goes,
is awesome.
Yeah, and he's like, I got to take this. Because when the parents show up, he plays it cool, but he's genuinely worried about them.
Right.
And he answers, and because it's funny because Terrence is like, oh, you know, like those girls are dragging you down or this or that. He's like, no, those are my girls. They're my mentors. I'm teaching them. That's what you're supposed to do.
And he's also concerned because, remember, they had showed up at his place, taken a bunch of stuff, saying that they were doing a self-defense demonstration in gym class. That's why they needed like tasers and guns and cuffs. Yeah. And so he knows they've got all this armament and now they're not at school.
So he answers the phone and Blair's like, and Sterling's crying because she has no one to talk
Blair.
To. Yeah, sorry. Blair's crying because she has no one to talk to.
Yep.
So Bowser just cuts ties and tells Terrence, I'll be right back. And he goes off and talks to her.
And I loved how he talked to her, too, because it wasn't, like, sympathetic or anything. No. You know, she's like, she thinks I'm an asshole. And he goes, you are an asshole.
You are an asshole.
You're both assholes.
Right, exactly. Because she said, well, she said all this mean stuff to her. And what did you say to her? Well, I said a bunch of mean stuff to her. Okay, then.
Yeah.
Like, it was great. Great advice. No side taking, just honesty. And I don't know. I enjoy the characters on this show a lot. I'm actually sad that we have one episode left.
And it's one of those shows that we didn't think we were going to like.
No, I wasn't expecting to enjoy it as much as I do.
So while Bowser's talking to Blair.
Oh, God. In the background. I love it.
It was awesome because basically it should have been easy. Terrence tackles the guy as soon as he comes out. But then all the other people from the movie set, all the stunt people and the security guards start taking him on. So we get treated to that in the background of people just kicking the crap out of each other in comical ways.
Oh, yes. Just huge fight scenes though in the background. Yeah, exactly.
People getting run over by carts. And it was just awesome.
But in the end, Terrence does succeed, and we see a montage now of the girls riding home silently. We see Bowser in the office watching the YouTube video of Terrence basically making him look like a piece of shit, making Bowser look like shit. And then Bowser angrily kind of ripping all the posters down on his office.
And the parents are going to the girls' room and find out that they know about the hog place.
Yeah, they know about the hog place. So the clerk from the police department calls Sterling's phone and she puts her on speaker and he takes a dig at Blair again, which is hilarious. But basically says like, look, you didn't hear this from me, but kind of looks like the Culpepper there, your mom, she's wanted for arson. And he sends her an email saying, you know, I sent you an email and there's the image of the wanted poster of her mom. And it says $90,000 for arson. And then while Bowser at the same time is ripping everything off his big board or whatever, buried underneath it all is the same reward poster. And he sees it and he recognizes her. So the girls and Bowser know at the same time that their mom is in trouble.
And I'm hoping that they all talk about that. And they don't just like, you know, he's thinking, you know, I got to protect the girls and not say anything. And the girls are like, we can't tell Bowser because he'll try to take her in. Or I don't think that they would. Not in this show.
Quite frankly, I think they'll address it together.
Mm-hmm.
They'll all address it together.
I agree.
I don't know if Bowser will bring her in, quite frankly, but I think they'll definitely all address it together. I enjoy the hell out of this show.
I do too.
That's it for me for shows. Well, not really, actually. That's a lie. That's a complete and total lie. I watched, between last week and this week, I watched all 10 episodes of Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, the original.
Yeah, I just started watching them. And
that's one we have to talk about.
Yeah, I just started watching them, and I watched the extended episodes. And honestly, I'll be honest, I haven't seen the show in a year or so. Mm-hmm. And so for me watching the extended episodes, it's not like I recognized what was new footage, but I didn't feel like I saw anything I didn't see before.
Okay.
But the Bedneck Lady episode, holy cow. Okay. So Haunting of Hill House is an amazing series. It is scary, but not really. It's not gory, It's a very, very well-told story.
Yes.
It's thrown out over 10 episodes that don't feel like you're watching 10 episodes of a show. I think it helps that there's five kids and, like, each kid kind of gets their own episode. But it's so well played. And the Bentneck Lady episode is still absolutely just as amazing as it was the first time I watched it.
Absolutely.
And I loved forgetting some of the things. But at the same time, the second time around, when Steve, the older brother, is being all holier than thou about how our family suffers from mental illness, and I've never actually seen a ghost and this and that. I'm just waiting for him to, you know, get his comeuppance. Same thing with Shirley, the older sister, who's just kind of being like the stuck-up bitch about a lot of things. So, but anyhow, and then the 10th episode was also extended. It was just a great show. I can't say the same thing about Blind Manor.
Blind Manor?
Blind Manor. Sorry, I keep wanting to call it.
You watched the first episode as well?
I watched the first episode of Blind Manor. I don't know if I want to watch the second episode.
Oh, I'm definitely sticking with it because I remember that the first episode of The Haunting of Hill House was dry as well. And I was like,
I don't know. Having just rewatched it, I didn't feel it. But then again, I do know what was coming. But
yeah.
Oh, my God. I
remember Hill House. It took a few episodes to really get into it. This one, though, definitely has a very different vibe to it, doesn't it?
We have some of the same cast.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing new characters.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so fucking painful to watch.
The little girl.
Yeah.
The little girl got on my nerves immediately.
Oh, yeah. No.
And I can't remember what the phrase was that she kept saying, like, simply divine or something like that.
Yeah, I just, yes.
But she kept saying it about everything.
Yeah.
And I don't know if she's a bad actress or if they were really, like, she's really supposed to ham it up this way. But she was painful to watch.
Yeah.
It's a very different kind of story. Whereas the first one was dealing with a family moving into a house.
Yeah.
This one is Victoria Pedretti, who I love her. You know, she was Love in this most recent season.
She was Nell in Haunting of Hill House season one.
Yep.
Great character there, but she's the Bentneck Lady.
So she is now playing a teacher.
An au pair.
Well, she was a teacher in America.
Sure.
She's escaping something because she's talking to her mom on the phone, and she's convincing her mom, I'm not escaping. I'm not running away.
Yeah.
But every time she looks in a mirror, she sees some kind of ghostly figure with glowing eyes.
Yeah.
And I like the back and forth that she had with the guy about the job interview, where basically he was like, you know, what's the catch?
Yeah.
You're the youngest person to apply for this position, and, you know, you could have a life in America, but you came here. What's the catch? She's like, yeah, I saw your ad for, you know,
6 months.
6 months ago, and it's been there every week since then, and it's still going. So that means nobody's applying. So you tell me what the catch is.
Yep. I did enjoy that. But no, I just I don't know.
I'm hoping it's going to get better. It's still fresh, so we shouldn't get too deep into it.
I'm not going to. And I've seen some other people say, I've watched the first couple episodes. I'm not going to watch it anymore. I was like, oh my God, amazing storytelling. It was so brilliant. Da, 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 da. It was a rough, rough go of things for me.
Yeah, me too. Good. Definitely same page there.
Yeah. I guess we're on to movies already.
Nope. I watched one of the new show this
week. Go ahead.
New show on AMC. I had sent your trailer a while back. It's called Soulmates.
Oh, yes, you did.
So I'm not going to give this one a hard sell, but I will tell you about it.
Mm-hmm.
The basic premise here is that in 2023, scientists discovered the soul particle. You hear this in an advertisement on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can take a test where they take this. It looks like an eye test. They basically go in and look through your eyes, and they look at your soul particle, and they find the one person on the planet who is your soulmate. Now, they don't. We haven't run into anything where it's like, oh, your soulmate died, or, you know, they are so much younger than you, or anything like that. So far, it just seems that once you take the test, they match it up with somebody else who has also taken the test. And if they find a match, then they give you this person's info, they get your info, and then it's up to you to contact each other. The controversial part in this is that, like, the main character, she's married, two kids. She's very happy. And everybody constantly tells them, from her friends to their friends to her family, they're constantly like, you know, you've got the perfect husband. You've got the perfect marriage. You two love each other. You've been together since college. You don't need anything better. And she's like, I agree. I love my life. So her friend comes to her and she's like, I'm going to take the test. She's like, dude, you're married. She's like, yeah, but I'm married to a dick. I don't like my husband. So, I want to go take the test. So she goes and takes the test.
Come with me.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. So she goes and takes the test and discovers that her soulmate lives in Argentina. And he's got her info and they're going to contact each other. Well, you know, then later on she comes back and she's like, my husband's being an asshole about this. He wants to take the kids and he wants to take half the property and blah, blah, blah. I can't understand this. She's like, really? You just upended your entire marriage out of the blue without talking to him about it. And you can't imagine why he's going to be like this. It's a shocker. She's like, you're a selfish, self-absorbed person and you're only thinking of yourself in this. But she's starting to feel a little bit annoyed by her husband. You know, they've been together for like 15 years. There's a few things that he does that she doesn't like. So she decides to go and have the test done. But she backs out at the last second. And she goes and tells him. She's like, you know, I didn't have the test. I knew that I don't care what it says. I just wanted to be with you. I was going to take the test and hope that it said that you were my soulmate. But, you know, I just wanted to be with you. And so I didn't do it. I didn't take the test. She's like, so we can get through this. We can be okay. And he's like, well, I thought you were leaving me and you've been distant lately. So I went and took the test and I've met the woman who is my soulmate. And she's a great person and I don't know what to do. So then it kind of like fades out. And then when it fades back in, we have no idea how much time has passed, but they're divorced.
Yeah.
He's now with his soulmate. She's with her soulmate. And her and her soulmate are going to pick the daughters up to go to a wedding. And, she runs into him, you know, because obviously they're with him. And she's doing the whole co-parenting thing. Hey, you know, can I take him next weekend? Because, you know, we got this thing that Rick wants to do. And he's like, yeah, I can check my schedule, but that should work. And he's like, you know, I kind of miss this. I kind of miss us. She's like, yeah, okay. And then, like, they pull away, and she's looking out the window. Now, the preview for the next week didn't seem to show them, so I don't know if this is an anthology thing or if – I'm hoping there's something more sinister going on.
Sure.
I'm hoping that this is a scam or it's some kind of genetic manipulation thing where they're like, oh, we actually scan people and try to find the best makeups so that we can put them together and create these genetically perfect kids. I don't know. I'm hoping that there's more to it than just a drama, but it was intriguing enough to keep me going for now. So there.
All right.
Now we're on to movies.
I tried to watch a movie. Mm. Tried to watch Gladbacher's Books of Blood.
Oh,
yeah. Hulu one.
Yeah,
yeah.
Who's not really doing well lately with these originals, like Monsterland, or
that was not good,
or that monthly one that they did.
Yeah, that was not good.
Okay,
I do not give that a sell.
You said you tried to watch it. Did you not get through it?
I watched like an hour, and I was like, oh, fuck this.
Okay.
And it's multiple stories, so I didn't even watch one of the stories.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was like, it's not even worth my time.
Huh.
It was just wasn't good. Just wasn't good, in my opinion.
Now, there were a couple of them that I've watched that you said you were going to watch.
Oh.
Enola Holmes was one of them.
Yeah, we haven't. I haven't.
Okay. And I'm trying to remember what the other one was.
Yeah, I did not watch Enola Holmes yet.
Vampires versus Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Didn't watch that. The Boys in the Band?
Okay. I don't watch any of those yet.
I'm trying to keep track because what else did you watch?
We went to the drive-in on Friday kind of last minute because earlier this week my wife said –
I got the notification on my phone.
Earlier this week my wife said, do we have the Casper movie? I go from 95 with Christina Ricci. She's like, yeah. I'm like, I doubt it. And we don't. And then it was like $2 to rent on Amazon. She's like, oh, let's rent that this weekend. I was like, oh, okay. And then Thursday she's like, oh, it's at Pride's going to drive-in this Friday. So I was like, oh, that's funny. And then Friday night, Addison ended up going to spend the night at a friend's house. So it was just the four of us. So she was like, well, let's go. So after dinner, we headed down. I love that movie starts at basically 7 o'clock, 6:50.
Right.
And it's an hour and a half. So, I mean, we got out of there 8:30, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen the movie in forever. There's a lot I've forgotten about it. Still a good movie. Pretty fast paced. But Casper, friendly ghost, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then
Christina Ricci back when she was still cute.
She was 15, so she was.
Well, I didn't mean cute sexually. I meant jailbait. As in, like.
Yes, she wasn't all. I don't want to say drugged out because I don't know if she's done.
I'm just
drugs.
Thinking Black Snake Moan.
Yeah, you know. Right.
Trashy. How's that?
There you go. Went to Kate's cousin's house on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And we had a kind of a family movie thing where we all of us sat down together and we watched The Monster Squad.
Nice.
God, I love that movie.
That's a great movie.
Such a good movie.
That's a great movie.
I didn't realize Kate had never seen it before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was Addison's first time watching it, and Wesley's. But everyone else had seen it before. Cannon's seen it a few times, so I've seen it yearly since I was a kid. Yeah. So, nah, it's just a phenomenal flick. Did you watch any movies, by the way?
I did.
Would you watch? I got a couple more, but would you watch?
So, I had forgotten to talk about this one a while back, but I want to make sure to mention it on here. There was an Amazon original that kept popping up for me. It's called Chemical Hearts.
Okay.
And it's a teenage angsty love story. Don't watch it. It's terrible.
Okay. I have the two Amazon, the new Blumhouse Amazon ones that came up, Black Box and then the Lifetime one, basically, with a daughter's secret. And I put them in my watch list, and I went to go watch them a couple of times, and I was just like, nah.
I had sent you a video on YouTube of 10.
Yes.
10 hidden gem movies on Amazon Prime.
And I wrote them all down, actually.
I watched two of them all.
10 movies and two. So there's actually 12, because there's two. What's that word? Whatever.
Memories?
No. It's like honorable mentions.
Oh, okay.
Two honorable mentions.
So I watched two of them, and I think one of them I've seen before. Operation Endgame.
Oh, we watched that together.
Okay. I was going to say, I started watching it, and I'm like, pretty sure I've seen this. It was still solid.
It's still a great enjoyable flick. Yeah.
So many stars. Jesus, so many stars. The other one that I watched was Everly, which is Salma Hayek.
I watched that one previously. That's an excellent flick.
It is excellent.
Yes.
I was surprised. It flew under the radar. Basically, Salma Hayek is... She's in a whorehouse, but it's because she was taken against her will by this guy, and it's kind of like a John Wick kind of thing.
Yes.
She's trying to fight her way out, and everybody in there is trying to kill her.
She's kind of surrounded in this room or trapped in this room, and she's trying to shoot her way out, basically.
Yeah, and it's pretty solid.
Yeah, I watched it on Netflix.
Oh, nice.
Years ago. I mean, it came out several years ago, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to check out some more of them on that list.
Yeah, I wrote the list down, and it was actually –
I mean, some of them I have seen.
I had seen
Split Second.
I had seen four of them before.
Yeah.
So,
Operation Endgame you'd seen. Everly you'd seen. Split Second, the Rucker Hauer one. I mean, of course.
Yeah.
The next 3 days
I had seen.
Yes, the next 3 days I've seen that one as well.
Yeah, that was the one with
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe trying to get his wife out of prison.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was okay.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't bad. But like Lake Mungo and Residue. I'm going to try and basically check them all out.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah.
They look good. Even the anime one looked good.
Yes, the anime one. And it's funny because it's like, I don't normally have anime. And that did look good.
Yeah. The only other one that I watched, I will say this. I watched Hubie Halloween.
Okay.
How was Adam Sandler one.
Yeah.
It was an Adam Sandler movie. Now, I'm sure you remember this. There was a thing where Uncut Gems was out and he was actually up for an Oscar. And he made a very public statement that if I don't get the Oscar, you're going to regret it because I'm going to go back to doing schlocky shit.
Yeah.
And that's basically what this was. It was another Adam Sandler movie with a collection of
characters,
his friends.
Yep.
You know, Rob Schneider's in it. Steve Buscemi's in it.
Yeah.
But then you have people like Shaquille O'Neal was in it.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Chiklis was in it.
Yep.
It was exactly what I expected, so I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I won't give it a hard sell.
If it's what you expected, then that's great.
That's the thing. It was another, Waterboy. It was more like the Waterboy, maybe a little Mr. Deeds mixed in there. Mm-hmm. But he's basically, the town joke
mm-hmm.
because he takes everything too seriously, and he's got this canteen that he made himself that – holds liquids and has a grappling hook and a telescope in it. And, it's ridiculous, but it's got a good mystery to it. People are getting taken away, murdered on Halloween. And yeah, I honestly, I enjoyed it. That's what I was expecting.
Wrong with that. Yeah.
It's what I was expecting. So. That's all the movies I got. What you got?
Cannon and I watched Night of Demons from 1988, the original one.
Really?
Yeah, Night of the Demons.
I remember one scene from that very specifically.
Which one?
The lipstick in the breast.
Yeah. Yeah, and then she pushed it into her... Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought you were going to be the one where she takes off her panties and the undergarment and then holds up the skirt and dances around with a big bush.
No.
That's the scene I remembered from the movie.
Yeah. I will always remember that one for some reason.
Yeah, it was weird.
It was just weird.
Well, because the other thing too, she pushes the lipstick in through her nipple on the fake breast, clearly. But then, like, when she's done, there's her nipple still. It's like there's a hole or anything.
Yeah.
It's a great 80s flick. It's different than the standard slasher flicks that were coming out at that time because it's demon possession. But it's good. And then I watched, I guess it's kind of new. It came out earlier this year. I think you had watched it previously, and I've been meaning to and hadn't gotten around to it, but I did. We Summon the Darkness.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what did you think?
I really liked it.
Interesting twist.
Yes. Yes.
And it's been out long enough that we can go ahead and talk about
it. Basically, you have these three girls, and this movie takes place in 88 or 87 or 80s. Three girls going to a rock concert, basically, and they're traveling along the way to get there, and they're kind of slutted up, if you will. While they're driving there, someone drives by and throws a milkshake at their windshield, and, you know, they almost crash and this and that. And then, of course,
people do all the time in movies, but never in real life.
They meet up with, when they get to the concert, they meet up with the guys that did it, and basically they kind of create a kinship with them, and then they go to an after party at one of the girls' places together.
Her dad's house.
Her dad's, like, camp, basically.
Yeah.
And they commence to drinking and flirting and everything. And the underlying story through all of this movie is there's some serial murdering going on.
In the name of Satan.
In the name of Satan, all these people getting killed. And then there's Johnny Knoxville that keeps playing this evangelist preacher that you see on TV and in videos and everything that is, like, talking about the goodness and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, long and the short of it, one of the girls is his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And these are not ritual Satanists that are killing people. It's members of the church from all these different congregations. So it's not even the same people killing. It's all kinds of different people. And they basically murder people and make it look like Satanists did it.
Uh-huh.
To get the people to become religious and flock to the church to be saved.
To bring in money for him.
Yeah.
So that he can have all these different places. Right.
So, yeah. I mean, that's fucking unique.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was a great twist.
Yeah. And I'm not going to tell you the ending or how it ends or whatever, which would be the ending, I realize. Or, you know, whatever the twist, if there's any twist, there's that, whatever, I'm going to leave that, you know, for you to go watch. I give it a hard sell.
Yeah.
It was a fun movie.
It was.
I really enjoyed it. If you liked, it had the same appeal to me as, like, the first Babysitter movie.
Yes.
As far as it's a movie that I really enjoyed and expected, you know, wasn't what I expected. And, yeah, I liked the hell out of it.
Yeah. I agree.
So, news and trailers.
Yep.
You had talked last week, and I don't remember if we talked about this on the episode or after the episode, but about Jamie Foxx coming back to play Electro.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Was that on the episode?
It might have been.
Well, if it was, and, you know, Jamie Foxx is coming back to play Electro in the new Spider-Man movie. Now, forget, I thought the new Spider-Man movie was already done. See, I thought it was.
Spider-Man 3?
Yes, I really did. Based on how the second one ended, and I thought they already had filmed the third one. I thought it was supposed to be coming out soon, and then COVID pushed things back maybe, but I thought it was already done. Well, anyways, essentially there's a source online that's been pretty reliable coming out with things, you know, different news, different times or whatever. But basically it says that Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire are reportedly in talks to appear in Spider-Man 3. To play with Holland in this movie. And according to their sources, all three of them are teaming up to take on various villains from their past, mm-hmm. which would make sense if Jamie Foxx is coming back to play Electro. So it's this Into the Spider-Verse type movie.
Now, after that rumor broke, they confirmed that Benedict Cumberbatch is going to be in there as Doctor Strange.
Which is cool as shit.
And don't forget that his next movie is called In the Multiverse of Madness.
Exactly.
So we've confirmed Jamie Foxx and we've confirmed Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes.
So
I would fucking love it if they did this. I would love it. And J. Jonah Jameson, whatever, I can't think of his name, but the actor that played him.
Mm-hmm.
In the original Sam Raimi Spider movies, has playing J. Jonah Jameson in Spider-Man 2.
Yep.
I mean, in this new one with the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies.
Which, as somebody pointed out, bringing the other ones in from the multiverse could be a way to undo his outing. You know, because remember how at the end of the second movie, Jonah Jameson was like, and his real name is Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, really digging on this.
I could definitely be down for this.
I'd be okay with either Willem Dafoe or, I can't even think of his name right now, Doc Ock.
Why not both?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah. I can't think of his name either, but yeah, Doc Ock.
Yeah, I'm blanking.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm very excited about this. I really hope that this moves forward. You know what else I would like to see? I'm going to say it right now.
What?
Miles Morales.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see a Miles Morales, whether it's the animated version or it's a live version, because remember, we've already met his uncle, Donald Glover.
Yes.
As Prowler.
Here's the thing. Another thing I would love to see, because DC, the CW universe did a fantastic job with this, and the Spider-Man and the Superman movies always done a great job with this, with bringing back people that have been involved in other Superman franchises and the new movies and everything.
Right.
Nicholas Hammond, who played Spider-Man in the original 1970s movies and TV series, is still alive. Yes, he's 70 years old, but still, he played Spider-Man in those original series. Like, I think it would be cool as shit if they brought him back.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, I don't want to see the Japanese live action involvement anyway whatsoever.
No.
But still, I mean, I think that would be fucking fantastic if they did that. Alfred Molina.
Thank you.
It's just one of those things just hit my brain.
Yeah.
So I was pretty excited with that news. I definitely can get behind that news.
Absolutely. Yeah, it actually excites me more.
Absolutely. So you sent me a shit ton of trailers.
Yes. So we got a new trailer for Free Guy, which Ryan Reynolds one.
Completely changes.
It does.
What this movie looks like.
Because now he's trying to save the video game world because they've become conscious, and so they're going to shut down the video game world.
Yeah.
I loved, did I send you the video before that, the Zoom call of all of them who are, they're doing different promos for like, coming Christmas, coming Thanksgiving, coming in 2024, you know?
Yeah.
Because they're like, we have no idea when it's
coming. Some summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Coming 4th of July in some year.
To me personally, I think this makes the movie look even better.
I think it does too.
I think that the plot sounds even better and that it's going to be really cool thing.
With the original trailer,
it's Wreck-It Ralph, essentially.
With the original trailer, though, it's like, well, it's Ryan Reynolds, I'm going to watch it.
Right, right.
Done. Anyways, but now with this, even more so.
Then I sent you the 355, which is a new spy movie with Jessica Chastain and a bunch of other female
guys. It's like a John Wickish
Ocean's 8 kind of thing.
Yeah.
Looks good. I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah, I will too.
It looks like a solid flick. Then I sent you The Show by Alan Moore.
Yeah.
And I actually prefaced it by saying, I was going to send you this trailer, but I wasn't going to send you this trailer, but it was so bizarre that you need to read the write-up first before you actually. And even reading the write-up, it's fucking bizarre.
Yeah, I read the write-up and I watched the trailer. In fact, you actually sent me the link to the trailer while I was watching the trailer after I read the write-up.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. It looks fucking weird. I'm going to watch it.
I'll watch it as well. There's not a lot coming out these days. So.
No, but I'll watch it.
Yeah. Sent you one from Mortal.
Yes.
Looks very interesting. Guy basically can't die, but then it looks like he can also bring people back from the dead.
Or he used electricity to jump the, like, whatever, you know.
Defibrillate.
Yeah, defibrillate, yeah. Was that a Netflix?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. No, it looks good, though. It looks very interesting.
Then, a Japanese movie called Alice in Borderland.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to watch the hell out of that one.
It's a series, which makes me excited, but it's basically a Japanese one where half the world or most of the world disappears and these people are left to play a augmented reality game.
Yeah, this was a manga series. Mm-hmm. So it's based on a manga series. But yeah, and now this will be on Netflix.
Yeah.
In December. It looks really good.
It does. Augmented reality, awesome. You know, streets of Tokyo empty, these people trying to figure out what's going on and survive.
Yes, they have to play the games to survive or else they
So, no, it looks great.
And then something I'm super looking forward to was Invincible.
Okay, yeah, Invincible was what I was thinking of.
The animated Amazon one?
Yes, that looks really, really, really good.
Superhero, who is played by, again, the J.K. Simmons, the one who does J. Jonah Jameson.
Okay.
Very distinctive voice. You know, he's playing catch with his super son. They're both flying in the air, and he's throwing the ball around the planet to his son. And basically teaching him, you know, you're invincible. You're the most powerful thing on this planet. I get to teach you how to be that way. So it's almost like if Superman had his super father there to teach him how to be Superman.
Yes. Yes.
And it looks great.
It's like the opposite of Homelander on Boys and his son, how he's trying to teach him.
Yeah.
No, it does look good. But yeah,
it's from Robert Kirkman.
They're throwing the ball around the world.
Yeah. It's from Robert Kirkman, who did The Walking Dead most famously, but this is another one of his projects, and it's all animated, so that's going to be great. Then we got the final extended trailer for The Stand.
Which, I was not blown away by the trailer.
No?
No.
Nothing in it, like, made me go, oh my god, I've got to watch this.
Right.
I'm still excited to watch it.
Oh, no, I'm still excited to watch it, but it's one of those things where I think about it sometimes when I watch a trailer like this, and I go, if I didn't know what The Stand was, I had never heard of it before, if I had never watched the previous miniseries, or never read the book, would I care about this? And the answer is no. Based on that trailer, no. I thought it was a really terrible trailer.
And I'll say this. I've never read the book. I've tried several times. I fucking hate Stephen King's writing. I'll say it. I'll go on record.
Sure.
And I never watched the miniseries because it was a miniseries. It was Corin Nemec, who he's just going to be Parker Lewis for the rest of
his life. But he wasn't even the star.
Right.
It's like watching, Topher Grace and Predators.
Right, right.
Okay, it was that type of character.
Right.
Molly Ringwald was in it. Hello.
Yeah.
And Gary Sinise.
But it was also an ABC miniseries, and I was
I loved all those Stephen King ABC miniseries at that time.
Right. So I never got into it. I never watched the miniseries. I never read the book. Yeah. So to me, I'm like, all these years, I don't know what The Stand is.
Sure.
I know the cover of the book shows a giant crocodile man with a sword going after what looks like a Jedi with a sword.
Yeah.
And I know that it starts off with a pandemic.
It does.
I've reread the first part of the book so many times that I could probably do it from memory of basically like the car coasting into the gas station and the people falling out with the black ooze and stuff like that. And I'm like, so I know about that part.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm excited to see it. And they say that it's kind of poignant where we've got a pandemic going on right now.
Well, here's the thing for me. If anything, the new It movies have taught me how
to stay out of the sewers.
Yes. Now, how not great the original ABC Stephen King miniseries were.
Tim Curry's still awesome.
Yes, Tim Curry is still excellent, but this was so much better. So I am excited to watch this based on I enjoyed the original miniseries. Granted, I haven't seen it in years because it was like four tapes to rent at the video store.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to see what they do with this. Yep. To see how it is.
You're going
to
be binging a lot at that point because you'll have Lower Decks, Discovery Season 3, and The Stand.
Yeah. The trailer itself, I didn't think it was a great trailer.
Okay. Fair enough.
They basically, the trailer kicks on and they put Stephen King across the screen and going, made our money.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
So, news stuff? You've already closed your laptop.
I've already did my only news, really.
No, because you had sent me the one, Glow was canceled.
Oh, yeah. They canceled Glow because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. They actually started filming in the spring. They completed episode one. They started filming episode two, and then pandemic happened, and they decided they're just not going to start back up production.
Which, this is happening to a lot more shows. Not so much movies. Which,
right.
It's probably because with a movie, you know, you've got 2 hours to fill. So, yes, it may take a lot of takes, but you're going to have one solid movie at the end. Whereas a TV series, we're shooting the ring scene that's going to be in episode 5. We also need to film for episode 7 and episode 9 while we're right here.
So I'm hoping they release the episode they filmed at the very, you know, they filmed it. Why not put it out there? They have their own fucking platform to which to release
Apparently
it.
Apparently the stars are trying to get them to do a movie to shoot a finale. So maybe based on that episode and then film a little bit more and have it be like a movie as the finale.
Sure. That would be great.
Yep.
I know Taya Valkyrie is a wrestler. She's been wrestling for years. She actually got cast to be in this season, and she was super excited about it. But, of course, before she did anything, it was canceled. But for her, this is going to be her foot to get into acting, hopefully.
Oh, nice.
Because they've had other professional wrestlers on the show many times in the past. I mean, Welfare Mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Awesome Kong.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, she was a wrestler for years, and she got that role. And then, like, John Hennigan's been in it. There's been a bunch of male wrestlers in it as well for different reasons, but... yeah, that was kind of shitty.
Yeah. Black Adam added a new cast member, Isis, which, again...
Great name, people.
They got to do it, though. You know, it's a comic character.
I get it.
Can't go back. But Isis is going to apparently be played by Sarah Shai.
Okay.
Love her. Soul, the new Disney Pixar movie.
Yes.
That's coming out. It's animated. It's about, you know, jazz singing and, it's headed straight to Disney Plus, no extra cost, okay. Christmas Day.
All right, that's cool.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool.
Oh, Regal.
And it will not be in theaters.
Regal closed the theaters again.
Yeah, and AMC said they're not going to.
Go ahead.
Regal specifically said exactly what I thought, which was, we're closing it because there's no new movies coming out.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't say anything about health and safety of their patrons. They literally, and I get it. They're a business. All these people just got their jobs back. Now they've lost them again. That sucks. I am so sorry for those people.
But here's the other thing, especially in the Northeast, like the drive-ins are all closing at the end of the month because they're closing. Mm-hmm. It's the end of the, it's, you know, it's
you can't
sit in your car when it's fucking snowing out and watch a movie. I mean, you could, but it's miserable.
Yeah.
And then in the spring, it's not like they can open earlier in the spring as soon as it starts getting warm because the grounds are so muddy.
Oh, God, can you imagine driving
they have
there?
To wait for the grounds to dry.
Yeah.
So if you have a wet spring, that's why the drive-ins open later in the season. But, I mean, this has definitely been the best 6 months probably in years that these drive-ins in Maine have had. You know, that's why they're going as late as they are in the season. Actually, Bangor's, I was talking to my buddy who works at the Bangor drive-in. They are actually going through to the first weekend of November.
Nice.
Yeah. So I may go up there just to go to this. I went to the drive-in in November.
Right.
It depends on what they're showing.
And I've never been to the Bangor one, so.
It's nice. I mean, it's not my favorite. Pride's Corner is definitely my, actually, Skylight Drive in Madawaska is my favorite. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. Pride's Corner would be number two, Bridgeton, and then Skowhegan and probably Bangor. But they're all nice. It's just, it's a big, open, empty lot. Two screens, you know, it's not,
gotcha.
So. Sorry, but real quick. So with drive-ins closing, like at least people could go to the drive-in to enjoy a movie. Now in the winter, like in Maine or the Northeast, but you know, I'm just thinking of Maine, the theaters aren't open.
Dude, Maine in the winter sucks anyway.
Well, yeah, but unless you're an outdoors person, going to the movies is really one of the only, going to the movies, going to wrestling, going to concerts, if they, you know, going to anything inside, that's not going to be happening.
This is going to be a real test this winter.
It is. It really is.
You know, at least with the pandemic, it started in March that the lockdown started.
Yes.
And everything. So people could walk outside.
We
could do outside things as they started lifting restrictions.
Yeah.
Now with winter coming where you're trapped inside as it is, it's going to be a real test.
Now, like Smitty's is still open.
Mm-hmm.
And they're showing old flicks. Did you hear anything about Cinemagic closing at all?
Cinemagic's part of Regal.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
So I didn't realize Cinemagic was – when did that happen?
They bought them a while ago.
I didn't realize that because we have – the Cinemagic is – obviously, that's the drive-in that – not the drive-in. That's the theater that has the IMAX. I didn't realize – so they'll be closing those then. So I guess, I mean, you could look the one in Freeport if it's an independent Narrow Gauge, Nickelodeon. I mean, so there are some independent theaters around that might stay open, but Regal really is the biggest chain for us, flagship.
Yeah.
I don't know. But not, quite frankly, not that I've had the urge to want to go, my personally, go watch a movie inside a theater at all.
Right. Couple other things news-wise, and then we'll be done.
Yeah.
Andy Samberg, Craig Robinson, and Common are teaming up to make a movie called Super High, where smoking weed gives you superpowers.
Okay.
I know you're not a big fan of weed, so but I love Andy Samberg and Craig Robinson, and
sure,
I love them together. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, when they get on the screen together, they are just golden.
Yeah.
Dame Judy and Peralta, they're just fucking amazing. So I'm actually looking forward to that. This last one is something that I am super excited about. So they announced this week that they're actually, you could call it a reboot, you could call it a remake. Basically, they're remaking the live-action Resident Evil movie.
Oh, I did see that, yeah.
But they're basing it on the first two games, and they're going to go closer to what actually happened in the games, whereas the original one with Paul W.S. Anderson, he kind of went off and did his own thing, and he created a whole world. You know, he was successful. He had, like, seven of them. But this one, Capcom is actually behind it, Constantine Film. Writer-director Johannes Roberts, who did 47 Meters Down, whatever. He's going to helm the official origin story adaptation set in 1998 in Raccoon City. huge stars. I would have recast some of them differently, but... So you've got Kaia Scodelario, who was in one of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, as Claire Redfield. You've got Hannah John Common as Jill Valentine. You'd know her as... She was the ghost in Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Okay, yeah.
I know her as Dutch on, that sci-fi show that I keep wanting you to watch. Anyway, so she's going to be playing Jill Valentine. Robbie Amell will be playing Chris Redfield. I would not have cast Robbie Amell as Chris Redfield. Chris Redfield is a big, rugged dude. Like, he is big, muscular. Like, as the games went on, he got bigger and bigger. So I would have cast somebody a little bit bigger than Robbie Amell, but... Good for him. Tom Hopper, who plays number one in the Umbrella Academy.
Yep.
He's going to be playing Albert Wesker. Now, okay. I would have cast him as Chris Redfield, I think.
Okay.
But he's going to be Albert Wesker. Okay. Albert Wesker is phenomenal. Albert Wesker is immortal. They've got a new series coming out on Netflix that is going to deal with Albert Wesker's daughters. Because Albert Wesker kept showing up in the games. You'd think he was dead, and then he wasn't dead. He was the main villain behind most of this. He was one of the lead scientists at Umbrella. He's essentially a vampire, and he's fucking awesome. He's one of those villains that you love.
Okay? Yeah.
This is why it hurts me so much to hear that Tom Hopper was cast as him. Because then, for William Birkin, the scientist who came up with the T-virus that has created all these zombies and the tyrant and stuff like that, they've actually cast Neil McDonough.
Okay.
Neil McDonough.
I'm a big fan.
Neil McDonough is the villain that we love.
Yeah.
He should have been Albert Wesker.
Return of the Mac.
Albert Wesker, like I said, is an older guy. He's immortal. He's smooth. He's calm. He's collected. He's a fucking badass. When I saw Neil McDonough's name, I lost my shit. And then I saw that he was William fucking Birkin, the scientist who comes up with the T-virus. And I was like, why? Why are they doing this to me when they could actually have him as Albert fucking Wesker? So I'm kind of pissed about that. That's the fanboy in me. Feel free to tweet me and tell me that I'm wrong. But Neil McDonough already being attached to this movie and not being Albert Wesker blows my mind. I'm so blown away by this. So,
I got one more news thing.
Okay.
I mean, I've watched all the Resident Evil. I never played the games, but I watched all the Resident Evil movies.
Mm-hmm.
I even watched the one that wasn't a Resident Evil movie, basically was a Resident Evil movie. You know, the one with Highlander there, Christopher Walken. Not Christopher Walken, Christopher Lambert. You know what movie I'm talking about?
No.
Okay. So Christopher Lambert did this, he did this movie and I'm watching it. And I'm like, it's fucking Evil Dead. Like this is definitely Evil Dead.
Okay.
And like the whole storyline and I'm just, hold on a second.
Okay.
It wasn't Mean Guns. Is it Resurrection? I can't think of the name of it now. I'd have to go back and look it up. But basically, like, he did this movie that was essentially Resident Evil.
Okay.
With a virus and everything. Like, oh, hold on. That would help me if I told you. I wrote Evil Dead instead of Resident Evil. Resurrection, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
Oh, is that the one after they were done with all the movies and
Resurrection came out in 99.
Oh, okay.
Before all the Resident Evil, before any of the Resident Evil movies came out, I believe. And it was, I mean, it was just clearly a ripoff of Resident Evil.
Okay. Dude, look at this. This is Albert Wesker. Tell me Ian McDonald would not be.
No, that is Neil McDonald. I mean,
yes, Tom Hopper could be him.
Yes.
You know?
Right.
Number one from Umbrella Academy? Absolutely. Yeah. Especially the younger pictures.
Yeah.
But Neil McDonough could fucking be Albert Wesker. And he would be so smarmy about it.
So the movies that made us.
Oh, yeah.
I tagged you earlier in the week. All week long, they've been revealing, like, a puzzle with a couple pieces a day.
You tagged me in it?
Yeah, I tagged you earlier in the week, I thought. Anyways, they've been on their Facebook page, they've been revealing an image with puzzles earlier in the week showing the new season.
Awesome.
Seasons.
Ooh.
Seasons 2, 3, and 4.
Whoa.
And so in the movie, in the poster, when you look at it, it's you can see that because they don't have any names. It's just like pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So aliens, from what I can see, aliens.
Yep.
Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, Halloween, RoboCop, Jurassic Park, Back to the Future. Nightmare Before Christmas, Elf, Forrest Gump, Coming to America, and then I can't remember this movie, but I think it's Jennifer Lopez.
I'm coming over.
Okay. I think that's supposed to be J-Lo, and I recognize the outfit. I just can't remember what movie that was from.
No, that's Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman.
Oh, that's Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman? Okay, all right, so then Pretty Woman.
Which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, okay, that makes more sense. All right, that's exactly who that outfit is. It's just the puzzle pieces right in her face.
Yeah.
Halfway through it. So, yeah. So
it's the shirt. Like you said, it's a very distinctive outfit.
Yeah, very distinctive outfit.
Vivian's outfit in the very beginning.
Yeah. So, anyways, I'm pretty excited.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's pretty awesome. And that's it for me.
That's it for me as well.
All right. Well, then that is the show.
Next week we'll have The Boys.
Yeah, next week we'll talk about The Boys.
Maybe episode 6, maybe episode 6, 7, and 8. Yeah. Who knows? We'll find out. Only the shadow knows.
But you can find me on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K, and let me know what you think about Resident Evil casting.
Yes.
Talk to you later.